Father, this morning we just lift up your name, God. And we say, you shall reign forever and ever and ever. And Father, I pray that right now, God, that you'll awaken, Lord God, a heart of worship, Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, I pray that right now, God, that you'll speak to our hearts, God. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray, God, that we'll cry out with one voice, Lord God, that you are the King of heaven and that you are here with us, Lord God. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, we as a people we will not keep silent anymore, God. But, Father, that we will live our lives to give you honor and glory, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, hear the cry of our hearts this morning, God. That Heavenly Father, Lord God, that we no longer want to be mediocre with you, God. But Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to follow you wholeheartedly. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we will keep our eyes on you, God. And only you, Jesus. Father, you are for us and not against us. Have your way in us, Lord Jesus. Yes, Father, we just thank you, God, that your praise will forever be on our lips, God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we thank you, God, for opening up our hearts, God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Good morning, church. So good to be here this morning. Such a privilege and an honor to be sharing the word this morning. If I may ask, can the mic go down a bit, please? I'm a sound guy, so let the mic go down a bit. Amen. So this whole week, actually since the beginning of the year, I've just been feeling this sense of urgency awakening in my heart. And one thing that I really believe that God is wanting to do with us as a people and as a movement is that, you know what, he's actually wanting to take us deeper with him, especially in this year. And I believe, like last year, I also believe that God wanted us to go deeper with him, but there wasn't like a willingness to actually go through with God. There wasn't this like, okay, God, I'm excited about the plans that you have for us as a people, as a church. We're wanting to go deeper, but I feel like most of the time, it's like we're testing out the waters. And we're standing by the shore and not actually wanting to go in with God, to swim with God, to actually flow with God. And I'm believing that in this year, 2017, there will be a difference in how we approach God and how we see God. And that's my heart for us as a people, that we no longer just be like, you know what, okay, easy water, who fooled it? Ek gaan maar net hier staan. Nee, dat gaan nie werk nie. I forgot, this is the English service. You know, at the English service, at the African service, I speak English, and here I speak Afrikaans. This is weird for me, but anyway, I'm just wanting to challenge us as a church to actually take God at his word and not be mediocre anymore as a people and as a body. So this morning, I loved what Pastor Tiaz did with the offering and the communion, like all the different languages. And I was like, man, because last time I was home was last year, the 28th of October. And I'm like, I haven't been speaking my home language. So as I was preparing, I'm like, this whole service is going to be in Tswana. So if you don't understand Tswana, just trust the Lord for the interpretation. Ka gore fondaga ka tsheko ke tlo go bua Setswana fela. Ach, I'm just joking. Yay, everybody's laughing. Amazing. Okay, the title for this morning is Choose Today. Choose Today. And what I'm wanting to ask us is this question. If you knew that you were going to die today, what would you do differently? If you knew that, you know, today at 6 o'clock, you're gone, what would you do differently right now? In your last couple of hours, what would you do differently? What's going to change about your life? Okay, let's just think about it for a couple of seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was a couple of seconds. Okay, now I'm wanting to find out from everybody, what would you do? Can I have a bit of volunteers, please? What would you do differently? Noku. You will trust. Amen. That's a good one. Anybody else? Wow. Fantastic. Anybody else? Big T. You will skip lunch. Anybody else? You will plant a tree. That's amazing. I remember I was faced with this question, like, what would I personally do? And I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to get speakers, like big speakers, and I'm going to have a crusade outside, and I'm going to tell everybody that Jesus is Lord. But my question is, it's like, you know what? We never know when we're going to die. We never know, like, okay, time's up. No. The thing is, what I'm challenging us is that, you know, we're saying that we'll do this, we'll trust God with all of our heart, and that's amazing. We'll plant a tree, we'll skip lunch. We're saying all these things, but my question is, why are we not trusting God now? Why are we not evangelizing now? Why are we not focused on God now? Because I remember I asked this question at youth once. I'm like, what would you guys do differently? And some of the youth people said to me, I would tell my parents that I love them. I will say this to my parents, and I will say to them, I appreciate you. And I'm like, okay, I understand that you will do that at a given time, but why aren't you doing it now? You see, now is the most important time of your life. Now, it's not like, you know, your best life 10,000 years, like, it's right now. The difference that you need to do is right now. So, and the reason why most of us sometimes think that, you know, we cannot do this now is because we think there's still time. And that's the biggest lie that we have in the world right now. That there is still time, we can still do this tomorrow. I will plant my tree tomorrow. I will skip my lunch tomorrow. I will do this tomorrow. And I love what Johnny just said right now. I will not do anything different because I'm already living for Jesus and I'm full on for Jesus. I'm full on for Jesus. And so there's a part of a song in Amazing Grace which says, you know what, we've no less days than when we first began. We don't have that much time than when we just first began. So if you're not excited right now, it's time to get excited. It's time to get excited about what God is wanting to do, I believe that God is wanting to use us, and God is wanting us to be like, God, I'm available. I will do whatever you call me to do at a given time. I remember when I just got saved, we were introduced to terms like WWW. Whatever, wherever, and whenever for Jesus. And we were just going for it. And I remember there was a prophet that came to Porch's room once, and he said to the people, the mall is going to fall down. And I remember my buddies and I, we were so fired up for God. We ran to the mall. And I can tell you, we were koroshandering the whole mall. We were just praying and praying and praying and praying. Because there was just a willingness for us to actually go out, not say, you know what, but we then found out that the guy was not lacquer in his mind. But still, it was like, you know what, we were still willing. It was like, okay, we understand. We're going to go pray. We're going to go pray. And it's like what Isaiah says, what the book of Isaiah says. When King Uzziah died, there was a call. Who will go for us? Who will go for us? And Isaiah's like, Lord, here I am. Send me. Where is the willingness nowadays to be like, God, here I am. Send me. Send me. I want us to read this scripture in James. James 4, verse 13 to 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. Use today, be focused today, serve today, evangelize today, and love today. And this morning, I'm just wanting us to think back of when we got saved, of when we encountered the Lord, the joy that we had. It felt like we could take on the world. It felt like, you know what, there's nothing that can stop us anymore. We are unstoppable. And you got to that place where you are jumping and you say, yes, I will go for Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm so amped up for Jesus. Everything about me cries out, Jesus. I believe when I just got saved, man, it was amazing. It was this newfound joy. And it was like, okay, I need to share this. I need to share this with people. I cannot keep this to myself. I cannot hold back because I know there are other people that needs to experience the same joy that I'm experiencing. And then I remember. Amen. Please, battery, hold. And I remember just that excitement. When I went home, my parents could see a difference. My friends could see the difference. That I'm no longer speaking like how I'm speaking, how I used to speak. Because it's like, it's different. God has been doing a new thing. And, but what is my, what, there's one thing that's bothering me is that, you know what, sometimes, you know, you are so excited for God and you are so fired up for God, then all of a sudden, you decrease. And you are no longer on fire for God. You are no longer serving as you used to serve. And I want to compare this to like falling in love. When you fall in love, Facebook is full of all your selfies with your partner. Oh, we are at the mall, selfie. We are at this place, selfie. Because you wanted to show the world that I'm in love. I'm taken back off. That's the thing. It's like, you know what? You are so excited about this new partner that you have. And you're willing to do anything. And I'm remembering when I just fell in love. The day I fell in love, the day we decided to court, my wife and I. We never dated, we just courted. And then we got married. When we started courting, it was just this amazing feeling. Like, you know what? Wow. You need to go to town. I'll take you to town. You need to go there. Listen, I am there. I am there. And I remember, I used to have, like, when we met, I had a bicycle. In the evening, come rain or whatever, I was on that bicycle. Because it was like, I've got to see her. I've got to see her. And I remember then I got a car. Oh my word, that car was so, we used to call it the yellow Ferrari. The car was so beaten up. The paint was falling. I used to carry like a little bottle of petrol inside the car because sometimes it would not start immediately. And then you have to open the bonnet and hoy the petrol in the carburetor itself to get the car going. And I remember we drove in that car so proudly. She was sitting on my left. We didn't have safety belts in that car, nothing. So we were just driving in faith. So we're driving, and I remember we had to go get pizza once. And everybody's outside. Everybody's looking at us. And we parked that car. Eh? You know, it wrecks a bit before it stops. Then they're like, okay, you're parking your car there. But the thing is, just like, you know, you don't worry about stuff like that. You're like, wow, she came with me. Then you walk out of the car, you go order your pizza, and it's amazing. It's just this new joy. It's like, you know, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters because you are so in love. And it's like that when you fall in Jesus. If you fall in love with Jesus, it's like you are so focused. But sometimes we get so distracted. We get so distracted that, you know what, we lose sight of who God is. We lose sight of, like, you know, what he did on the cross for us. And then we carry on with life and we think, like, this is amazing, but where is Jesus? Where is Jesus in all of this? And you know what? There's other people that's walking around without Jesus. This is Salvation Month. And I'm believing that we as believers will actually move away from our comfort zone and be like, you know what? We're going to go reach out to them. We're going to reach out to the people that's not in the church yet. Because as I look at the church, there's plenty of open seats. So it's like, you know, we need to awaken the joy that we had at first. And sometimes distractions come in small packages. You never see it coming. There's one thing that I despise the most, and it's going to the mall. I don't like going to the mall. Because when I usually ask this question, listen, what are we going to go get at the mall? Then I will hear, no, we're just going to get shoes. In my mind, I'm just picturing shoes. Nothing else is like, nothing else matters. Shoes. This is the way I'm going, and that's where I need to be. Once we enter into that mall, ooh, look at this. Ooh, look at this. And all I'm thinking is shoes, shoes, shoes. You said to me we're going to get shoes. But, and I'm like, shoes. But then what do? I end up going into Pick and Pay. We never planned to go into Pick and Pay. We never planned going into Kumbooks. We never planned going to Jet. We never planned going anywhere but shoes. And then I'm like, but this is not on. And that's how it gets in our Christian life. We say, you know what, we're following the King of Kings, and there's the cause right there, and we're following the cause of Christ. But then we begin to wonder, and we're looking at, oh, that's nice. But then we're losing sight of who God is and where God is actually moving. And then we are not so excited anymore about God because, like, we feel like God is not there. But God is always there. It's just that we've moved our eyes away from him. So we need to understand that, you know, once you set your mind on Christ, you need to follow Christ. Because he says these words, like, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for my kingdom. We need to focus on God so that the world out there can see that we are a light to the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. We need to shine the light, but how can we shine the light if we are not focused on God? I remember I used to say this back then when I was in Porch leading the youth that side. My youth leaders would not come to the meetings. They would not come to intercession. And in the evening, when we have youth, they would want to lead a small group. And I'd be like, what are you going to be sharing? What are you going to be sharing tonight? Do you know where we're going as a youth? Do you understand? Because you need to be present. And so it is when you follow God, you need to be present. You need to be present when following the King of Kings. So we get distracted. And I'm trusting God that today God will just awaken that love that we had for him at first. That God will just awaken and take us back to that place where God was our everything, where God was our source. I'm wanting to read the scripture, Revelations 2, verse 1 to 5. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear with those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered with patience and labored in my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Nevertheless, you have left your first love. How many of us this morning have actually left our first love? How many of us this morning can actually notice, you know, I'm not as excited as I used to be about God. I'm not in love with God like when I first started, because right now I'm just going through the motions. Just going to church. Just going to small group. There's nothing wrong with going to church and going to small group. But you need to understand something. Your first love is important. The first place where you met Jesus, the things that you used to do, the things that you used to do, used to go on missions, used to evangelize, used to give of yourself, do the works that you did at first. And this happens from time to time because we are no longer in awe of what Christ did on the cross for us. We tend to forget that very easily. And I love what David says in Psalm 51. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. This is after King David messed up with Bathsheba. You know the psalm. But then he goes back to God. It's like, God, just restore to me the joy of your salvation. God, take me back to that place where I was so in love with you. To that place where I was like, you know, nothing else matters except for Jesus Christ, the Lord, my all. Because sometimes people, we get so caught up in what we need to do. But we never caught up in Jesus. We never get caught up in Jesus. And I pray that today God will just restore us back and restore the joy of his salvation. That we as a people will become sold out for him. I don't know who's ever went to spa around about 9 o'clock in the morning. When you walk into spa, there's this aroma that is coming out. Fresh bread. And it's like you going to spa and you smelling this aroma. And you're like, I want that. I want that bread. And you go to the bakery and you say, listen, can I have some bread? And they're like, no, it's gone. It's sold out. And you say to the guy, listen, I will do whatever. It's like, no, you're not hearing me. It's sold out. And that's what must happen to believers, becoming sold out for Jesus. That when people look at us, it's like, I see Christ in you. You are so sold out for him. So that, you know what, it will be easier for us also to minister the gospel. If people can see Christ in you, it makes it easy actually to minister that gospel. But if you're not intimate with God, it makes it a bit harder for you to actually minister the word. Amen. Church is so quiet this morning. Let's read Revelation 3, verse 14 to 16. And to the angel of the church, I've been struggling to say this word for a while. Laodiceans. Let's all say it together. Amen. Thank you. I don't have to say it now. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. This is God speaking. It's like, listen, I'd rather have you being cold, but not lukewarm. So you need to be on fire or cold, but not lukewarm. God says to us, listen, I actually don't understand you. You look like a traffic light. Sometimes you are green. Let's go for Jesus. Sometimes you are orange. Must I go for Jesus? Then sometimes you are red. I'm not going for Jesus. So God is like, listen, we need to move away from the traffic light mentality and decide, listen, am I going to be on fire for God? Am I going to be lukewarm? Or am I just going to be cold? Because God is like, listen, I cannot deal with lukewarm. And some of us, you know, we do seminaries about, like, what does it mean to be vomited out of God's mouth? We go on seminaries like, what do you think that means? I will vomit you out of my mouth. It's that simple. It's like drinking coffee that is lukewarm. And you're like, this is not it. This is not it. This coffee has to be hot. We cannot be undecided about Jesus anymore. We cannot be undecided about Jesus anymore. We have got to come to the place where we decide, are we going to be sold out? Or are we just going to carry on living our lives? And what really bothers me from time to time is that we can see that we are lukewarm and that we are not on fire for God and still be like, you know what, it's okay. It's okay. And I'm wanting to challenge us today. We need to look at our lives and ask ourselves one question. Am I still sold out for God? Do I still love God more than I love anything in this world? Do I still love God more than I love my wife? Do I still love God more than I love my kids? Because God says this, if you love your wife more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your kids more than me, you're not worthy of me. God wants to be first in our lives. Are we giving God our all? Are we just still holding back to certain things? Because we're still enjoying the comfort of our lives. Where are we standing as a people? Where are we standing as a people? I remember saying these words to the young people. You know, when you preach to young people, you do a whole lot of actions. And I said to them once, you know, you cannot be undecided for God. You cannot be like this in the kingdom and like that. Lukewarm, on fire. How are you going to walk? How will you go forward? Because it's going to be a struggle for you to minister. Brother, Jesus loves you. It is not going to work out. But if you're on this side, you're like, brother, listen, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you and God wants you in his kingdom. We need to be like that. I've been reading the book of Acts and every time when I read it's like, Peter, like, God, grant us the boldness to minister your gospel more effectively. And I'm like, oh my word, this is happening. This is amazing. Because I can see there was an awakening happening in my heart. Like, God, I need this. I need to minister your word with fire. God, I cannot be lukewarm anymore. I cannot be undecided about you anymore. I need to come to that place where I'm like, okay, God, you are everything to me, and I'm going to preach you wherever I go. So this year, we're having a whole lot of missions. Please get involved. We're having a mission soon in Kunda. Please get involved. Please get involved. You've lost your first love. You just want to awaken that fire again. Just go minister to someone. Just go minister to someone. It's not rocket science. You look at a person, you just minister to that person, and you're going to feel. It's like when you go on missions, you go out there to give, but you receive so much. You receive so much. Every time when we went on missions, when we came back, it was like, it's time to change porch. It's time to change porch. And then you go back to your schools. You start ministering. You start ministering. I remember the guys used to call me pastor at school. And I'll be like, nah, I'm just Moja. But I was just ministering and ministering and ministering because of that love and that urgency that God had awakened in my heart. And there were times where I just fell back and I'm like, this is not working out lekker for me. But then it's like, but God, you have called me. And I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. So I'm wanting us to do something differently today. Just ask yourself questions. I'm not wanting to make an altar call or nothing this morning. But I'm wanting to challenge us. Look at your life. Look at your life. And I'm wanting to close with the scripture, Joshua 24, verse 14 to 15. This is Joshua speaking. He says, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose today whom you will serve. And if it seems evil for you, this is what he's saying to the people. Like, listen, who are you going to serve? Does it seem evil for you to serve the Lord? Does it seem evil for you to serve the Lord? Then choose for yourself who you want to serve. Choose for yourself who you want to serve. And he ends up with these words. But as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we have decided we will serve the Lord. Is that our aim in life? That we say, like, listen, we can see there's other gods, there's other things, but we're going to serve. We're going to serve the Lord. Where are we standing today? Are we still excited? Are we still in love with God? Just think about it for a couple of seconds. If you're still excited about God, if God is still your first love. Father, this morning we just thank you for who you are, God. Pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you will awaken, Lord God, the first love in us, Lord Jesus. Pray, God, that you awaken an urgency, Lord God, in our hearts, God, to serve you wholeheartedly, to follow you, God, and only you, and not what we desire, God. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that in this moment, Lord God, that you will take us back, Lord God, on the day we met with you, God, the day you decided, Lord God, to save us, Lord God. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that in this moment, we would choose, Lord God, to come back to you. Father, this morning, I pray, God, that we will choose you above all else. And that we will want to follow you above all else. We thank you, Jesus, for the gift of salvation. And I pray, God, that we will produce fruits worthy of repentance. Lord God, have your way in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, Church. Pastor T.